Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. What are you laughing at?
What? Just the way things started. You were already, you know, ready to roll here.
I wasn't quite ready to roll, but we're all good.
It's okay.
Yes. So, how are you today?
I'm fine.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, it was nice. Went to the nuptials for Lori and her new husband, Kevin.
Yes.
Our promotions director, Lori. She's awesome. So I went to the reception, and it's a good time.
Did you behave yourself?
Henry Ford. I did.
Okay.
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought I did.
Sometimes. You know, I know you can. I've heard stories.
I kept the genie in the bottle.
That's good. So Monday, it's going to be a busy Monday here on Carson Anderson. First of all, there's a Monday night football game tonight that we know that Detroit is excited about, Lions and Buccaneers, and it's going to be an interesting game and how we approach it mentally given all the injuries. Nobody ever likes to quote-unquote accept a loss or anything like that, but this is a long season. This is a big game. It has tiebreaker ramifications, of course, Lions and Bucks tonight, and we'll go in-depth on that. We are at the Henry Ford Health Pistons Performance Center, as we have now become a bit of an annual thing, help preview the Pistons season, and it's a different feel. When we were down here last year as opposed to this year, coming off a 14-win season, people were excited because there was a young core, but the results hadn't happened on the court. Then they go out and they win 46 games. They get into that series with the Knicks, and it felt like the NBA was back in Detroit, and people were fired up. And we'll approach this season completely differently. You know, they open at Chicago Wednesday. Sunday's the home opener. And then right away, Cleveland's here on Monday. We're talking about a team that goes into a season with expectations and a bit of a buzz, huh?
Yeah, no, there is. And it's pretty cool to finally have that here in Detroit with the Pistons. It's been a long, long time. And last year was such a fun wave to ride. And yeah, I think you said it well. We get into the playoffs. It was a legit playoff run, even though it was one round, but it was six games against the Knicks. And you know, certainly some hard feelings about things that happened in that series. I mean, one game in particular, I think it was game four or five, where they got screwed. But it's okay.
Yeah.
It's all right. New season. You know, we'll see what happens. And there's still some other shoes to drop, perhaps, in this season. They've got a little bit of a timeline tonight if they want to sign a couple players to extensions prior to the season. And then there's always the what's up with Malik Beasley situation, which will be interesting. I mean, it seems like they've addressed that already with acquisitions, but can't help but think, I mean, that was a pretty big piece of last year's team, and obviously his situation off the court is still ongoing in a way.
So what we'll do is we'll ask Trajan Langdon about that today at 10:30 and see if he has anything to add to those conversations. As far as on the court, you know, it's weird because now with all piling up all the wins last year, looking like a team that could make a run at the East, and we still can talk about young pieces that can get better. in Jalen Duren and Ron Holland and Asar Thompson. I mean, we're talking about some players that still seem to have upside that could take this team from 46 wins, you know, to into the 50s. Maybe this is a team that can push for one of the top spots in the Eastern Conference this time around.
Yeah, I mean, health is a big part of it, right? And they're starting the season not as healthy as you want to, with no Jaden Ivey for at least the next 4 weeks. I mean, he's going to be evaluated after 4 weeks, so can't imagine that's going to happen. His debut will happen anytime soon. And like I said, you got new pieces coming into the mix. It's going to take some time before that feels like it's, you know, just well-oiled machine and part of the team. So we'll give it a little bit of grace period, but there are high expectations. That's what happens when you storm in and make the playoffs and do it kind of in resounding fashion. Didn't have to get to the play-in game. You were in the playoffs to start the season, to start the postseason, which was great. Now the expectations are there. Do better. Improve your seeding. Can you be a top four seed in this conference? It's not easy, but there's been some movement in the conference, and you've got young players that you expect to take steps forward and get better. That's why the expectation is going to be higher.
So not having Dennis Schroeder and not having Malik Beasley, two veterans that definitely did good things for this team. Sure, they got Duncan Robinson and Caris LeVert, but you know, the expectation, I think, is more on the younger players taking on more of a role. But those two veterans did help. And, you know, we'll see what happens, how the Beasley thing sorts itself out. But, God, I really had always been a Schroeder fan. Loved him being here.
Yeah, and he wasn't here that long. Keep that in mind. That was a trade deadline acquisition, which in the NBA is earlier than in the NHL by several weeks. So I think it was maybe, you know, February acquisition. So, but he absolutely played a role for this team. It was confidence at the point. That guy was ultra confident, and it was a guy who had been there and done that, and it showed to have that kind of experience on the floor, and to not have him this year, okay, that just means that you're leaning on other guys to get more minutes, and I'm excited for what the future holds for Ron Holland, what it holds for Asar Thompson, those two guys in particular.
Let's go back to our studios, Kang, our guy sitting back there at the command center, and I know you've followed this team and have followed this team and are deep into it. What are your thoughts as we get set to launch this 2025-2026 season?
You know, I'm really, really excited. And, you know, just like a lot of Pistons fans, finally some real expectations heading into the season after last year. We've tasted the playoffs. We probably felt like, a lot of us felt like we should have won that playoff series. And this year, the growth of the young guys continuing, hopefully. We know what Cade can be in this league. He can be an all-NBA. He's an all-NBA player. Now, can the rest of them follow and become, like, you know, borderline all-star type players, whether it's Jaden Ivey or Jalen Duren? Thompson, of course, looks like he's got tremendous upside, definitely defensively. Can he put together, you know, the offensive game to go along with that? But, yeah, this year with the expectations, the excitement, I'm very excited. Cannot wait to see how this team continues to grow. But there's going to be some real expectations this year. So when you lose now, there's going to be, you know, that, you know, there's going to be criticism that didn't come along with it before, right? Before, it kind of just, you know, it was, okay, whatever, they lost. But now it's like, hey, I think more eyeballs are going to be on you. More people are going to care. So, and that's a good thing.
Looking forward to it. And we will talk some Pistons again. Trajan Langdon will join us sometime around 10:30, the Pistons GM. And then afternoon, we expect to have JB Bickerstaff, the head coach. Might have a player stop by as well here from the Henry Ford Health Pistons Performance Center. It is a Monday. And of course, Mondays mean champ and chump on a weekend. Who should be singled out for having the best weekend? Who should be called out for having a weekend that stinks? Love to get your champ and chump calls at 248-539-9797. Who do you have for champ and chump on a weekend? Also, we've got a Monday Night Football game to preview and an NFL and college football weekend to recap. So it's going to be a busy day here on Carson Anderson. Again, we're live at the Pistons practice facility, the Henry Ford Health Pistons Performance Center, and we will be here all day. So that to look forward to, and we'll get you set for the. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Thanks for being with us on a Monday. The Pistons Performance Center. We will speak coming up shortly with our guy Trajan Langdon, the general manager of this team. Champ and Chump, we do it every Monday. Got an NFL to look back at and a Monday night Lions football game to preview. But let's get to the phones. We got a Rich. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Rich. Hey, Rich. Hey, yeah.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
And now they don't even have Ivy, who I think was going to be slotted to play some of those minutes. Like even when Cade went to the bench, they could stagger them. I always thought, you know, Westbrook was sitting out there for a very cheap contract. I thought it would have been something if they would have signed him and had a Cade Westbrook type of thing going on. But I don't know. I was expecting a little bit more in the offseason, but I'm ready.
I hear you. I'm not totally underwhelmed by the offseason, because here's what I think. I think they think the call is coming from inside the house. And what I mean by that is I think they think that their improvement really comes from their young players getting more time, more responsibility, another season, another offseason. So I know what you're saying, but if this team's really going to go anywhere, it's probably going to be led by that group of players that they've drafted and attempted to develop. So I hear where you're coming from, but that doesn't mean it's hopeless, and it doesn't mean they're wrong.
But, you know, I agree with you 100%. They seem to have bet everything on the Cade's help is coming from Osser or Ron Holland. And looking at the preseason, like, I saw good young players, but I didn't see any – I didn't see the there yet, you know?
Did you? Yeah, I hear you. But it's also – I mean, preseason is preseason. Guys aren't playing – they're not playing 35 minutes in the first – like they would in the first game of the season in the preseason. They're playing 20 minutes in the preseason, playing 15 minutes in the preseason. Yeah, I saw Cade Cunningham have, double-digit assists in one of those games where he only played 20 minutes. I hear you. I think a lot of people were expecting a big splash in the off season. Maybe they had some players they could deal and try to get that big player. But in the end, a lot of that stuff never materialized for any team. That players just weren't available. Guys they added to this team, and they had to replace Malik Beasley. And I think, you know, bringing in Duncan Robinson, that's a heck of a shooter right there. Caris LeVert's a guy who can, you know, do a lot of things on the floor. Doesn't have to be get starters minutes to do it. So I like the additions they made, but I'm not sure how much better they're going to make this team. Ultimately, the improvement's going to come from the guys that are already on this team. Like you mentioned, Asar Thompson and Ron Holland. Those are the guys that are going to take it to another level. And then you have to ask yourself, how much higher can Cade Cunningham take his game? And I think the answer is he can still go higher. He's a star in the league, but is he a superstar? He needs to get to that level, or can he get to that level? I guess might be the better question.
Rich, thanks for the phone call. 248-539-9797. Tell you what, because we will have Trajan Langdon coming up around 10:30, we're going to do Champ and Chump here.
Okay.
For you and I, we usually wait till 10:35. We'll take some Champ and Chump, but we're gonna do Champ and Chump here. Gator, my champ of the weekend is Brian Jean-Marie, the Michigan linebacker coach. Cole Sullivan, an interception. Jimmy Roller, a team-high 8 tackles and a big interception. And Ernest Hausman, the second leading tackler. I'm going to go with Brian Jean-Marie, Michigan's linebacker coach, as my champ of the weekend.
I'm going to go with Shohei Ohtani. I mean, what he did in Game 4 was unbelievable. Slugged 3 home runs while pitching 6 shutout innings, while striking out 10 batters at the same time in the pennant-clinching game for the Dodgers over the Milwaukee Brewers. You know, I don't like the Dodgers. I love Shohei, and he's the superstar of the league, and he had a superstar performance.
My jump of the weekend is the New York Giants up 18 in the fourth quarter. Oof. They give up the lead. They go back and take the lead 32-30. Their kicker misses the extra point. They leave themselves exposed. Denver goes down the field and kicks a game-winning field goal. They only have 40 seconds to do it, and they did it. The Giants, my chump of the weekend.
That was an amazing finish to that game.
Yep.
My chump, the NFL. Bad enough that they lied about buzzing down to the officials to screw the Lions out of a touchdown. Bad enough that they released the hit piece on Brian Branch and then completely threw Lewis Riddick under the bus, saying that he's responsible for what he said. But then not to find Juju Smith-Schuster or Patrick Mahomes for the crackback block and the taunting after the touchdown. It's just an unbelievable series of events that started with the Lions game, and it continued in some of those games yesterday, too. But I'll just stick with it for what they did to the Lions.
Okay, there you go. Get your champ and chump votes in at 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket. What do we got here? Let's see. Feedback.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Been into the Carson Anderson inbox and a bunch of champ and chump votes. And again, get them in. We post on our website on Tuesday who the people select as champ and chump of the weekend. From Rick in Ferndale, my champ is the Denver Broncos for their incredible 33-point comeback. Chump me for starting Caleb Williams over Bo Nix on my fantasy team.
Ooh.
All right, so this is a chump vote for Rick in Ferndale. And a champ vote for the Broncos.
Bo Nix was incredible in that fourth quarter.
Yep.
Making plays with his feet, throwing the ball. I think he's going to be a good quarterback. I don't know how good. I don't know how high that ceiling is, but he's a pretty good quarterback.
Eric at Sterling Heights, champ John Jansen for being inducted into the Michigan Hall of Honor during the Michigan game on Saturday. Chump, the Giants for blowing a 19-point lead with 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter against the Broncos. Another vote there.
So you got heard you got some time on the big screen.
Yes, so they had the Hall of Honor inductees down on the field, and then we have a camera up in the booth, and they cut to a shot of John, and I was in the background. So I had two choices. One was just to applaud, which is what I did. The other was to treat him the way Aaron Rodgers' offensive lineman treated him on a celebration. Like
tackle.
Take him down. Yeah, and
yeah I like it.
I went with just the applaud.
I don't think you can tackle John.
Oh, dude, I want to chump myself.
Yeah? Here we go.
Yep. Remember I told you what I knew I was going to do? I knew I was going to do it, and I hadn't. I didn't do it for the first 6 weeks.
At some point this year, the guy's name?
Yep. I finally called Channing Goodwin, Channing Stribling. And I worked so hard. So hard, and
well,
I blew it. I was working a perfect game, and I blew it.
If it makes you feel any better, it's not going to be the last time.
Thanks, Scott. Strangely, that does not make me feel any better.
No, it doesn't? But, oh, okay.
Feedback to the Carson Anderson inbox. Again, get your champ and chump votes in. The Lions are going to win tonight. We might not have a secondary. It won't matter. Lions win 42-35. That's from Justin in Petersburg.
That's going to be a question I have that we'll get to later when we get into the Lions is, you know, what's going to be the point threshold you think they have to reach to ensure a victory with
like how many points are they going
nobody
to need? I know.
In the secondary. I mean, I shouldn't say nobody. There are players there, but
that's somewhat insulting.
It's insulting, disrespectful to them, but I don't mean that. It's that they don't have their top four starters in the secondary are not playing in this game.
Another week of an imposing team going to scorch our D1 college secondary. Tampa is getting healthier. They are getting a few guys back. Evans, both their corners, and we are losing guys by the day, specifically in the secondary. Baker's going to throw for 450 yards.
At least it's D1.
Yeah, interesting that he used a D1. I thought, you know, if he's really trying to prove a point, but he went D1. Baker, 450 yards. I'll take the under.
I'll take the under as well. No. It's not like Baker's got all of his full complement of receivers available.
No, they're now Abuka was back on the practice field, limited practice on Saturday.
Yeah.
But okay, then this one. John of Detroit says Chiefs, no penalties two consecutive weeks. How statistically rare is that?
Do they not have penalties again?
I think they did have penalties. I think he's wrong on that. Chiefs have 5 penalties for 38 yards.
You're way off.
Yeah. So I don't know what that's about. But.
No. They didn't have any issues with the Raiders.
No, they didn't.
And I don't think they needed any help. I was watching Red Zone, so I didn't fully see what was going on there. But it looked like Mahomes was doing Mahomes-like things. You know, the off-platform throws that he can do so well. You know, faking people out with his eyes, looking one way, throwing the ball completely over their heads because he ends up throwing it the other way. It's a good performance by Kansas City.
Champ and Chump brought to you by Sarah Chevrolet, Sterling Heights. Greg from Grand Rapids says, my champ is the Detroit Red Wings. My chump is Michigan State. How about those Red Wings?
How about those Red Wings?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Wow. I mean, they're stacking up impressive performances.
5-1 start. Hey, they had their awful start to the season, and now it's 5 wins.
I'll tell you what, by awful start, you mean the first game. Yeah, the sample size question now is the one that I think. Yeah, it's like, okay, when do we start going – okay, there's something special happening.
When can I fully embrace that? Well, that's going to be fun to talk about because they're fun to watch.
Yep. My champ, the Denver Broncos, down 19-0, put 33 up in the fourth for the win. My chump is the New York Giants for letting that comeback happen. That's from Devin in Southgate. Well, here's what's funny is I had a hockey game last night, and game ends, and I fire up my phone, and I go, oh, my God, the Giants are killing Denver. By the time I got home, Denver was in the lead. And I was like, what just – you know, you finish the game, sitting around the locker room, you shower, you load your gear into your car, you drive home. And it's not like you leave – the game ends and you're home 10 minutes later. But when I got home, I'm like, what happened?
I was watching on Red Zone, and when Denver scored, I think, the first time in the fourth quarter, and the announcer said something, oh, don't count them out yet. I'm like, all right, relax, dude. Mm-hmm. There's like 7 minutes left in this game, and they got a long way to go here before you start thinking that they're really going to make some sort of comeback. And yet that's exactly what they did. It was stunning. But it happens in the NFL all the time. We see games like these, and although this one may have been a little bit more historic because of the amount of points they came back from.
Champ Monty Quinn, Curry College, 20 carries, 522 yards, and 7 touchdowns.
That's insane.
Beat Samaj P. Ryan's previous NCAA record for rushing yards in a game. Chump, yep, the Giants. 248-539-9797. Piston GM Trajan Langdon joins us right around the corner from the Pistons Practice or Performance Center. It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. And we are from the Henry Ford Health Pistons Performance Center. And proud at this time to be joined by the general manager of the Detroit Pistons, one Trajan Langdon, who has just come by and sat down. Sir, how are you?
Doing well. How about you guys?
We're good.
Thanks for having me.
It's a different feeling this year, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. I think there's a little bit more known in the gym. With a lot of continuity from both our players, coaching staff, performance, but a lot of familiar faces in the building, which I think helps.
Well, it's been a year now, over a year now that you've been here. How Detroit are you now?
I love it here. It's still weird. I'm not going to lie to you. just because I hit the ground running so fast, and even though I've had some time this summer for my family and I to get inundated in the city, it still feels like this is still brand new to me. But the people have been great, the city's been great, and we're really enjoying it.
Some business things I want to get to you with. First of all, contract deadlines for Dern and Ivy. Deadline mm-hmm. tonight. Is there any update there?
No update at this time. We'll see here tonight.
Okay. And the
Sorry.
Tell you what, if there is any update, we'll be here till 2.
Sounds good.
If you could come by and just let us know.
Good. We'll do.
And Malik Beasley, is there anything new on that front?
No, definitely nothing new there. So, you know, for his sake, I'm really hoping that he can get cleared, but obviously still under investigation by the league and the feds. So, yeah, for his sake, I hope they can figure this thing out and he can get back to working.
Okay, well, let's get into this team and what you have. When you have a young roster like you do had a year ago and still have, there's always that question of who's poised to make that big jump. Mm-hmm. So when you look at your team, where are you seeing that just on the brink of happening now?
Yeah, I hate putting that kind of pressure on any player or two players, but our whole group put in a lot of work. Over the summer, they were not only in the gym here, but we had our staff flying out to see them whenever they wanted them. And when I say staff, I mean coaching, performance, medical, whatever they needed at whatever time. So we put a lot of hours in with our players, and which is great because I think we garnered a lot of the trust from our players. But they really worked. I think they got better. They know there's an opportunity coming into this season, not only individually but as a group. So. I think the pieces that we added really will help. But the biggest thing for us this offseason was continue, like you said, to allow these young players to continue to grow and get better and have an opportunity to show what they can do from the work that they've put in.
Looking at more of the bigger picture down the road, doesn't have to be this year or the improvement from this year, or from last year, this year, but just the bigger picture, how high is the ceiling for guys like Asari Thompson and Ron Holland?
Yeah, you know, the one thing with those two guys is they work. So they are going to reach their ceilings. I have no question that those two will reach the potential. That's all you can ask of any player that you bring in a program is that they are going to reach who they can be. How long is that going to take? That's going to be up to them. And obviously JB and his staff do a great job teaching the game, developing the players. But they do put in the work. We think they can be really good players. I think they'll both take they'll both be better this year. They're going to get the opportunity to get better, and they have the trust of their teammates as well from not only what they did last season but the work they put in. Obviously you saw Ron in summer league took a leap, and Asar has put in a lot of time, so him having a complete summer, a complete training camp, and being healthy now, I think you'll see two different versions of both players.
It's probably hard to answer this question right now with not knowing where you'll be at that time, but because this team now looks like it's can make a push in the East, does that change your approach at all or your thinking come trade deadline time?
Come trade deadline time. We're in October.
I know.
What are we doing?
I know, but here's what I guarantee. We're going to get 10,000 phone calls when the trade deadline rolls around, and I'm going to think back to what you said. But, I mean, last year, you know, coming off a 14-win season, we weren't thinking buyers at the trade deadline. This time around, you could be.
Yeah, no, I wasn't thinking buyer either until about 2 to 3 weeks before the trade deadline, and that's what we ended up doing. So, for me, it's continue to assess and watch these young guys grow, try to have an understanding of who we are within the Eastern Conference, and then figure out where we need that. You know, do we need a position? Do we need a skill set when that time comes? So it's hard to tell right now. Would I like to be a buyer then? Because that means we're playing good basketball and we have a chance. Sure. But again, like we'll assess. I have a good group with me. JB has a really good feel for the team and what's needed for us to take that leap. But again, it's just assessing game to game. That's why I try to be at every game possible and seeing the dynamic of the team and the chemistry. But we have a good group, and I'm excited to see where we go.
Can you take us through the process of getting to the offseason and identifying the players that you wanted to talk to and then eventually offering those players to become part of the Pistons?
Mm. In general or this past summer?
This past summer, yeah. And how is it different?
Well, two guys we targeted were our own players. And I said it pretty early as we would love to bring Dennis back and we'd love to bring Malik back. Tim was great for us, but I did want to see our young guys continue to grow. So I knew that was going to be a tough one if we brought him back in a different role. And so I think we all agreed that probably for him too, that probably being in Denver and getting that opportunity was a great situation for him. But Dennis obviously got a great contract from Sacramento with the starting role, and there's no way we could give him the same thing. And then the thing that happened with Malik was difficult late because we really wanted him back, and then we had to pivot. We thought that Duncan could fill in for Malik a little bit. Malik obviously had a historic year with what he did, but Duncan is his character and his work rate in here, he's the first one in darn near every day. Great for culture, obviously won a lot in Miami and was around a lot of good players. I think his partnering with JD will be similar to his partnering with Bam. So I think I'm looking forward and excited to see how he can help JD out because he's not just a shooter. He'll drive the lane, he'll pass it, he'll finish. So I think he and Karis bring a different dynamic of playmaking, size, and versatility on the floor.
As a GM, when you're going into these conversations in the offseason, is it strictly with an agent? Do you get a chance to talk to the players? Do the players want to talk to you, or are they standoffish? They just talk to my agent? How does that work?
Yeah, there's a certain time frame where we can engage. We can obviously engage our own free agents and talk to them earlier. But obviously that July 1 is around the time that you can talk to other players. And if it gets to the point where the player is interested, then yeah, we'll have phone calls with the player. I think it's more important for the player than it is us. We've done our intel. We've done our background. I pretty much know the character of the different players in this league. They just want to know, okay, well, what is my role going to be? And it's more important to hear from JB than me, in all honesty.
We got a question here from a listener. Joe, in advance, sent us the following when he heard you were coming on. As a Duke fan around Detroit, what is one lesson you learned from Coach K that most applies to your current position with the Pistons? Coach K was such a great coach and a leader. I'd be curious what his answer would be.
Yeah, a big thing that always amazed me with Coach, and it was more after I was done playing than while I was done playing, was his ability to flush the results from the past season. I realized in my years there that he never referred to the team the year before. He never talked about, we did this last year, you guys did this last year, why aren't we? It's always like, this is what we need to do this year. This is where we're strong. This is where we're struggling. We need to watch film. We're not guarding. And he would compare us to the other teams in the ACC, but would never compare us to a previous Duke team. I always found that fascinating, his ability to flush. And he always felt like, this season is one life. The next season you're going to have different players. You're going to have a different conference, a different league you're navigating. So he was always like, this season is one life and I move to my next life next season. So I wouldn't say that I'm able to do that. Day to day, week to week, season to season, I try to be able to move on from things that could be difficult and affecting me in the same way.
Okay, Eastern Conference now with injuries, Tatum, Halliburton. That feels like
you're excited about that one.
What's that?
Sound like you're a little bit excited about this, where we're going here.
I'm not excited about other people being hurt. I am excited.
I know where you're going. I know where you're going.
But that kind of opens up the door, right?
Yeah, I think that's what I was referring to earlier when I said that our players see that there's an opportunity. And again, not talking about the other players. Obviously, what happened to them is horrific, and I wouldn't wish that on any player. That being said, you look at, just like you said, where the Eastern Conference is, but we can't take things for granted. We can't take things like, oh, we're just going to be better than that team. No, they're going to be hungry too. Those teams are going to come in with a chip like any competitive team does and say, okay, watch what I can do. Even if our star player is out, watch how I'm going to step up. So those opportunities arise in those situations. Those teams become dangerous because you step in and you don't think they're going to be good, and they all come together and they galvanize in a way that they hadn't maybe before. But I think our group is in a good place. got some tough games that are gonna challenge us right off the jump. And I think like anything in this league is you got to stay healthy.
You earned a reputation at college, the Alaskan Assassin, one of the great nicknames of all time. You're a shooter. Still competitive? Do you get out there with the guys and shoot in practice? Do you have competitions? Do you get cocky? What's it like when you kind of take the GM hat off and the competitive juices get going? Can you still light it up from 23 out?
I can still shoot. I can't run up and down, obviously, like I used to, but I can still shoot. I kind of stay away from that because I'd like to take the GM hat off, but it just doesn't come off when I'm around those players, like to in their view.
Do you get called out by him at
no,
all?
No, they don't. Mm-mm, no, they don't. I my thing is I don't want to go out there and beat one of my players shooting basketball. That's one of our players. That wouldn't be good for confidence building, and we're all about building confidence around here.
I'm sensing he's still competitive. Oh, yeah. He thinks he beat him. Yeah. Well, we appreciate your time. Thanks for being with us, and good luck this year. Things have changed, man. Yeah. In a year, I can tell you from our perspective.
Thank you.
It was fun to get phone calls last spring.
I mean,
people fired up. So
we're excited.
Yep.
Thanks,
good luck.
Guys. Appreciate you.
Yes. Trajan Langdon, the GM of the Detroit Pistons, joining us from here at the Pistons Performance Center here on Carson Anderson. We will get back to your open line calls, your champ and chump votes, 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson, 97. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. We are at the Henry Ford Health Pistons Performance Center. Thanks to Detroit Pistons President of Basketball Operations, Trajan Langdon, who just joined us here live. And, Kang, I want to bring you in. Anything stand out there on what he had to say?
So, Trajan, he can still shoot, huh?
We were talking about that during the break. Kind of a low-key flex, huh?
Yeah, I like it. I like the confidence. I don't want to make our players lose confidence by me going out there and beating them. But no, honestly, I love the fact that he's the president of the business now because he kind of takes the approach I would. He's measured. You know, everything is there's real reason, logic, and you know, I guess deliberate. You know, he's deliberate with his actions, right? And you don't have to make emotional moves here and there. He waits to the moment and when the time is right. And I know fans don't love patience, but it can pay off. We were patient with Cade Cunningham, wouldn't you say? Right? I mean, a lot of people are already kind of writing him off after a couple of years because of the injuries and whatnot, but the talent was always there. It was just surrounding him with the right amount of veterans and supporting cast and him staying healthy, and you saw what happened last year. So I'm excited to see what LeVert and Duncan Robinson bring because Tobias Harris and Tim Hardaway Jr. last year, those guys helped a lot, right? And you don't have those. I mean, even Dennis Schroeder for the late season run in the playoffs. So we'll see how the other guys step up this year, and then including the young guys' growth and development. So I'm excited, man, like I said.
I think it's kind of cool like when you sit down and talk to the guy, and he's very credible, and he's got the quiet confidence about what he's done, and it's 1 year into it, and he's got reason to be confident after the big turnaround they had last year. Now, I even think he even kind of admitted he was a little surprised by it, too. But it's you look at Scott Harris and then Trajan Langdon, both are presidents of the organizations, respectively, both young guys. And I just like the direction of where Detroit sports is headed based on upper management.
Well, I'll just say this about Trajan Langdon. I don't think he's likely to make any rash, emotionally driven decisions. Is that a safe assumption?
That comes across as being a safe assumption, yes.
Yep. So
he might be the yin to the yang. Like if Tom Gores is like, let's do this, he's like, no, Tom, let's not.
That's something we could consider.
Yes, right?
Down the road. Yeah.
Let me give that some thought for the next 2.5 months and get back to you. But right, I mean, it's that's a good call. So the other thing about that, and I do like that hire, and we'll talk with JB Bickerstaff a little bit later on. I thought JB, I remember talking to him a year ago. I thought he was really optimistic, and I think he thought that team. After our conversation last year, I walked out of here right before the season started, thinking, well, the coach thinks they're going to do something special. The coach thinks they can do something special. That was my takeaway. So I'm intrigued as to what the ceiling is. I mean, he was kind of giving me a hard time and how excited I was about other players getting injured. Well, that, but it does open the door, right?
But he knew exactly where yes. you were going with it. That's why he was kind of laughing about it, because we're all excited that there's opportunity here, real opportunity in the Eastern Conference, where you know people had said going into last year you're not going to have much of a chance, and then the season goes on, and then you see that there are some real issues in Boston with trying to keep the band together, which they couldn't do. And then you had the unfortunate injuries that happened along the way with Boston and Indiana and other teams. And, you know, and the Pistons aren't immune to that either. And we're getting excited to get Jaden Ivey back, and unfortunately he's out for at least the next 4 weeks. So, I mean, it's just part of the game, but without a doubt, Pistons, at least they played without Jaden last year to make it to the playoffs. These other teams rely heavily on those guys to be the leaders of their teams, respectively. So I think that, yeah, there's reason for us to get excited about that.
I'm not predicting this, but I want to get your take on this, Kang, you as well. And that is it a ridiculous statement that the Detroit Pistons can win the Eastern Conference?
I don't think it's ridiculous.
It's not what I predict.
Yeah,
but
I don't think it's likely, but it's not ridiculous. Yeah. This isn't like there's a 4% chance. I think there's greater than that, but I don't. Yeah, it's not likely, but this is a team that I think can really do some damage based on what we saw last year, and then expecting improvement from young players like Thompson, in Holland and others. You know, we don't know what to expect out of Chaz Lanier, what kind of shooter he is. Bobby Clinton didn't really play much last year. Is he going to be somebody that comes off the bench and gives them quality minutes, you know? And then can Cade take it to another level? Can Jalen Duren develop an outside shot of any kind of respectability to add to his inside dominance? I mean, these are things that can happen that can make this team better. And keep in mind, I think the reason the Pistons didn't advance in the playoffs is because they had suffered a pretty significant injury to one of their big guys, you know, and getting him back and healthy is going to help when you talk about Isaiah Stewart. So I just kind of like where the way this team is built. It's still a young team. The guys they added are veteran players that fill roles. So I think that helps this team overall as well.
Kang, ridiculous or not ridiculous?
I don't think it's ridiculous. I think you have a guy in Cade Cunningham who could be that guy. He is him, right? And you need one of those guys in this league. Can you have the supporting cast to help him grow and you know, all do this together? It is a team sport in the end. I know you need superstars in a league, but tell me how many, you know, one of those dream teams, you know, that have put together recently that have done anything. You know, it's still a team game. And then you talked about it. You were excited, Doug, but it's true. It's open in the East, man. You look at the rest of the teams and the injuries they're suffering. Giannis isn't happy in Milwaukee. He got all his brothers there now for whatever reason. And, you know, Halliburton, Tatum, you know, name your team and name the injury, right? And the Pistons, they have a chance to capitalize on this. So I think that plays a huge role in the fact that it's not ridiculous that they could win the East or, you know, be definitely one of the threats in the East.
All right, well, we can continue talking Pistons if you so choose, 248-539-9797, as we have open phone lines here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. We also have a Monday night football game to preview, the Detroit Lions and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa 5-1 on the air, Detroit 4-2. The Bucs have been the kings of comeback wins, and we tweeted out a question earlier today just to kind of get a sense for what people were thinking and how they felt leading into this game. What's your prediction for tonight? Give us a winner, a score, and a quick sentence on what's going to happen, and we will read many of these answers on the air. And I got, you know, we tend to do this thing where we look at the micro and the macro. And if you zoom out on this game, I got a take that probably won't be particularly popular, but we will get to that today at 11:02. Again, open lines, and we do want your thoughts on tonight's Monday night game between the Lions and Tampa. When you call in and make a prediction, we will record those and then take a look tomorrow on tomorrow's show who did the best job of calling the shot of what's going to go down tonight. We got some shots to call what's going to go down tonight. We will get to that again starting at 11:02. Champ and Chump, we do it every Monday. Get those votes in at 248-539-9797. Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.